spend too much time yakking this morning. Didn't get myself prepared. Proverbs 17. Last week I gave you a little bit of an introduction. Since we started halfway through the book, let me remind you, you can, if you're interested, get the rest of the first 16 chapters online on sermon audio. But here we're starting in chapter 17 because I don't want to go back through the first 16 chapters again. That's 68 weeks, so that's a little bit much for me to go back through. However, you can get it if you want it, but we are starting in chapter 17, and I did give you a little bit of an introduction to the book of Proverbs last week, and I'll give you just a little bit more of an introduction this week. And that is to say this, the book of Proverbs is, if you could boil it down to a fine poison, if you could just summarize it in just as few words as possible, it's a book of cause and effect. It's a book of reaping and sowing, and that is the main theme of the book. You say, well, the main theme is wisdom. We've always been taught it's wisdom, and you certainly could say that. It's a book of about wisdom. There's no question about that, but what the contents of the book, the meat of the book is that if you do this, then this will happen. And whatever the subject it might be covering at the time, if you do this, this is going to happen. And that is cut and dry. I would call it a law, but I don't want to call it a law. The Bible itself in the book of Proverbs calls it in certain situations the law. It talks about the law of your mother, and especially there in the first couple of chapters. It tells the son, it says, you want to stick with the law of your mother. Of course, that's paraphrase, if you can handle paraphrase. But he says it's the law of your mother. And so the law of your mother and these rules and regulations that you find in this book is really all about being wise. If you do this and it's a bad thing, some bad things are going to come about. If you do this and it's a good thing, then some good things are going to come about. And you can depend on those promises. Even if you live in the New Testament. Now, a lot of times when you hear somebody teaching about the difference between the New Testament and the Old Testament, they'll tell you that the Old Testament are literal physical things and they're physical blessings, and the New Testament is spiritual blessings, and that is true. However, the law of sowing and reaping has not changed in the New Testament, even though we are blessed with spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. That is a truth. It's an absolute truth. But that's not to say that if you do right, that then you won't reap certain blessings for it. And if you do wrong, you'll reap certain curses for it, certain bad things, certain bad results. Those things are certainly true in the New Testament. The law of reaping and sowing began in Genesis and went through every what we call dispensation. There is no anti-reaping and sowing dispensation in the Bible where if you do something, nothing's going to happen for it. The Bible says in all labor there is profit. That's true from Adam to the last man, whoever that might be. But at any rate, that the truth and right is always going to have a certain effect, and you should depend upon that. And so you should really be more interested in the book of Proverbs. If you want life, if you want health, there are certain things that you can do to get life and health. If you want to live a long life, and you say, that's Old Testament, Brother Mike. Well, that Simon Peter needed to be told that then, because he said, he that would love life and see good things, let him, ... He went through and told you a lot of things in the book of Peter, how you can love life and see good days. And that, there's nothing different from that statement that's made in the New Testament than the book of Proverbs. If you do certain things, you'll get life from it. If you do certain things, you'll get death from it. And that is a large part, a very large part of the book of Proverbs. And so that's what we seen last week. We did get into at least one verse of Scripture last week. We'll read it again. Let me pray one more time and we'll get into the Scripture portion here. Lord, we do thank you again for your goodness and grace. And we ask you to be with us and meet with us this morning, oh God. We pray that you would open our eyes to truth. Open our eyes to this idea, God, of not only reaping and sowing, but just living a right life and a good life, God, and to do that, God, for the benefits that it provides. Lots of time people get messed up in a sinful life thinking it's going to give them some recognition or fame or popularity of some kind, God, or some fleshly benefit. But God, help us to see that living right has benefits as well, and those benefits are far more than the lying benefits that the devil presents to us, God, to get us trapped up in these filthy things. And we'll thank you, oh God, for what you do and all you have done. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. All right. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 1. We covered this verse last week, but we'll read it at least this week. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than an house full of sacrifices with strife. A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causeth shame, and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. The fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. All right, we'll stop reading right there. I don't know that we'll get that far or not, but if we do, we'll just read some more. Amen? But let's go back up in verse number 1 again. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. A servant, a wise servant, shall have rule over a son that causeth shame, and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. Now, this is a very good verse, and a lot of times people are very concerned about what their status is. Status, status, status. Matter of fact, you got a Facebook status, amen? Or you got all these social medias have a little place where you can put in how you're feeling. Feeling fine. Frowny face, amen? But at any rate, that's what people are concerned with. I'm happy, I'm rich, I'm nobody's servant, I'm the CEO of this corporation, I'm the head of this household. Or some Baptists get messed up right there. I'm the head of this household. Woman, you better shut your mouth because I'm a man. People get that idea. Well, you need to shut your mouth and be welcome to planet Earth. Amen? Oh, Brother Mike, don't think it a man's... No, I think that a whole lot. I think that a whole lot. It's just that I don't undervalue my wife.
Right. Amen. That's right.
Amen? There's a lot of things that has really hurt not only the church but the country. And the one thing is that you get hooked up on the way the devil comes against people, and you carry things to the other extreme. Now, this country, at some point in time, this country was a very Christian country. And I didn't say it's a Christian nation or anything like that, but you have to admit that back in the day, a whole lot of Americans were Christians. And there wasn't a whole lot of atheists running around. And if there was any atheists running around, they wouldn't say nothing about it in public. Some people there was one of the leaders of our country, you probably heard of him before, a fellow by the name of Thomas Jefferson. And Thomas Jefferson took and made his own Bible. How many of you knew that? And Thomas Jefferson took the part of the Bible he liked the best, and he collected those verses and scriptures into his own Bible and just put out the verses he liked, basically. And for that, eyebrows got raised, and people began to look at Thomas Jefferson and saying, well, you must not be a real Christian because you should love all the Bible. And you know why they said that? Because he should have loved all the Bible. Amen. I can't imagine taking a Bible and just taking out some of the verses and put. I don't even like the New Testament with Psalms. I got one of them, but have you got a New Testament with Psalms? You know, the little things the Gideons put out? They've got the New Testament and Psalms. Well, can you make one of them little books with all the rest of the books in it? Because I kind of like all the Bible, don't you? Amen. So I don't spend a lot of time with it. It's convenient to have a little New Testament. I'm not saying anything against it, but eyebrows were raised at Thomas Jefferson back in the day because they thought, this man's putting out some stuff that don't seem like normal for a Christian. And I just say that to say this, there was a lot of Christians in this country back in the day. And the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It didn't say nothing about freedom. But the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And that's why that this country was able, with all of its faults. Brother Mike, America had faults. I certainly do understand that because there's people in America. this country certainly did have problems in its early days. My family come to this country in 1635, and we've got a history of our family written down, and there was a whole lot of rascals, even in 1635. Matter of fact, the first person in our family that come to America was a jewel thief in England, and he was sent over here because he was a thief, not because he was a great, you know, landed aristocrat or anything like that. He come over here because he was a criminal, and it was go to prison or go to America. He chose America. And before too long, he had a 1,000-acre tobacco farm in Virginia. Talk about, you know, treating prisoners well. That's pretty good in my estimation. But there was some bad people over here, but there was a lot of Christians in this country. And those Christians, they had problems, and they fussed amongst one another because they were people. They weren't Baptists, but they knew how to fight amongst one another. Amen. So, Brother Mike, you act like this country was started by Baptists. No, they weren't Baptists, but they fussed like Baptists, so God blessed them. Amen. God blessed them and watched over them. But at any rate, they believed the Bible, which is a great thing, believed the Bible. You take a man that's lost. He's lost, and there's no question about that. And he can't save himself, and there's no question about that. But if he believes the Bible and fears, then his life will be different than a lost person that doesn't believe the Bible. If you don't believe that, look at Acts chapter 10. Find a very lost man who believed the Bible. He believed God's word. He believed what the Jews believed about God. God sent him a witness. Amen? But at any rate, I say all that to say this, that the people in the people in this country in the olden days, they had a fear of God and they had a belief in God, and they became, from a bunch of farmers, they became a great nation. And even Baptists don't believe, you know, that America's a great nation or ever has been a great nation. You can debate about what it is today. You certainly can debate about what it is today. But it was a great nation at one time. It had great values and great principles, and we are still living and tasting of the blessing that come from what they done hundreds of years ago. When that blessing runs out, God help us. But they were servants, and they become lords of all. And, you know, at that time, you know, ladies got to stay home. Men went out and worked, and there was an interesting, that's not to say they didn't work, that's just to say they weren't working at Sears and Roebuck. You understand? But they had a blessing of not being pulled very far from their homes, and that became the norm, and that became tradition over the years. And then the devil comes along and gets into the mix. You say, how do you know it was the devil? Because it was connected with a war. People say, well, you know, some people just blame a lot of stuff on the devil. Well, it's easy to blame stuff on the devil when about 100 million men are dying. So we had a war come along. All the ladies moved into the public works, and the men were overseas fighting. And after that, you know, you got Rosie the Riveter and women's rights and all this kind of stuff come up, the equal rights. Well, on the other side of that, you had a bunch of Bible-believing Baptists on the other, or Bible-believing Christians on the other side of that. So, well, there was a woman's place in the home. You see, the devil gave an opportunity to make an argument out of something that's not an argument at all. So, Brother Mike, I believe a woman's place is in the home. I believe, and you got to be very careful when you start saying somebody else's place is somewhere. Brother Mike, I believe your place. Hold it right there. You shut your mouth. You don't know nothing about my place unless God put you in authority over me.
That's right.
Amen? Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. Well, you know, Brother Mike, the woman's place. Whoa, 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 whoa. Are you that woman? Well, she's my wife. Okay, I understand that. But if she's not, if you're not her, or you're not hers, her husband, you hush up about it. Well, I think that brother ought to get his wife in check. You shut your mouth.
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
It ain't none of your business.
Yeah, right.
Amen. If you're not her daddy or her husband or her,
amen.
I'll even put it like this in a little different order. If you're not her, put her first. or her daddy or her husband, you shut your mouth. Unless you just want to pray for them, God, please help them. But 9 times out of 10, when you get somebody minding somebody else's business, they don't care enough about somebody to pray. They're just trying to justify something in their own life. I treat my wife like dirt, and he ought to treat his like dirt too. So which verse of Scripture are you talking about here, Brother Mike? Well, most people treat their wives like she's just a servant. Well, all Christians ought to be a servant. I know that, but you didn't mean it that way. I'm going to rest. I feel kind of tired. I'm going to rest while y'all soak that in. I didn't sleep very well last night. I'll just catch up on it right here. But so this is hard stuff to swallow. But see, the one side started saying, you know, women's supposed to be at home, women's supposed to stay at home. No, you mean they were used to staying at home because men feared God and reverenced God, and God blessed this place, and God put women and children in a place of safety. You go back hundreds of years in this country, you wouldn't send your kid to school 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. Right. Amen? And let me just say this. If you're in the habit of sending your kids to a government school 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, you ought to pray about that, because God didn't give your kids to the school, to the government to raise. Right. Amen? Yeah. You just think, you do what you want to do. You do what you think is right. But I'll tell you what, most of the damage done in my life, I learned it at public school.
That's right.
And the stuff I didn't learn at public school was stuff like math. Amen? I got a ton of math books over there. I'm trying to learn it when I'm in my late 40s. And it ain't working out too well. Somebody should have. My kids were better at math in the fifth grade than I am at in my 40s. Good public school testimony there, ain't it? But I tell you what, listen, God didn't intend for them to have that much access to the government, to have that much, if any, access. Now, I'm not an anti-government person, but I do know what the biblical parameters for a government is, and it's not to raise your kids. You're supposed to do that. Amen. Oh, Brother Mike, if you take your kids and if you homeschool them, you know, that's going to warp their personality. You know, they need to socialize. Well, they can socialize with me. What's wrong with me? You know what's wrong with homeschool parents? They read the Bible and stuff. That's the problem that the government has. Why would somebody get mad if I want to teach my own kids? Well, you know, you're not qualified. Well, look, let me take my kids and put them against any college kid and see what they know. I bet mine knows more than your college kid does. Amen? I got some kids that knew more in the 9th grade than some of these bozos that's running corporations know. I'm not talking about the book of Genesis or the book of Revelation. I'm talking about math and science and social studies and U.S. history and, amen, the subjects they don't teach in school anymore. Amen, cultural studies. I ain't sending my kid to a public school for cultural studies. I'm trying to keep them out of your culture. But at any rate, there was an argument that said the woman's place ought to be in the workplace, and so what Christians done, they went to the extreme opposite. And you get this place, a woman's place is in the home. Oh yeah, Brother Mike, the Bible says a woman ought to be a chaste keeper at home. I understand that. I've read the Bible a couple of times myself. Amen? I know where the verses are. I know where the verses are that you picked out to say, bless God, my woman's staying home. Boy, I can't wait till we get to Proverbs 31. Anybody ever read anything about a Proverbs 31 woman? She's a real estate agent. Anybody ever read that? She's a real estate agent. And she's in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. There's a whole list of those little job titles. You're talking about multitasking. I heard it said. I don't much believe it. They say women are better multitaskers. That's why they can't get nothing done. They're doing too many stuff at one time. Amen. I can't be all on your side, ladies. Amen. Calm down a little bit. Get one thing done at a time. It'd be better off. Amen. Find me taking a nap and say, what are you doing? I'm doing one thing at a time. Amen. That's why you can't get no rest. You're trying to take a nap and manage kids and cook dinner and whatever else. You're trying to do all that at the same time. Quit that. Go take a nap or something. Amen. Secretly, men do know how to run a washing machine and different stuff like that. You tell me he can make that old 1945 Ford run and he can't operate a washing machine? No, he's playing dumb. Darling, would you help me wash the dishes? He's playing dumb. That's what he's doing. Amen. Amen. Well, at any rate, I'm getting you fellas in trouble, but what I'm trying to get across to you this morning, that what this verse says is that a servant going to be placed above a son if he does what's right. Would you like to know how things end up in your Bible? I mean, I know you can read Revelation, the book of Daniel, and all that stuff. But you know, you get to reading through the Old Testament, and there's so many prophecies about the end times. So much prophecy about the end times in the Old Testament that it's almost not the Old Testament. It's almost like when you read the Old Testament, it's all completely future. And did you know what the Bible says about the end times? It says in the end times that women and children are going to rule over men. That's a bad thing. That's a bad thing. Yeah, but it's because the men are unfaithful. That's why. That's why. Have you noticed the increase in United States senators and House representatives that's ladies? I will get some good ladies in there. No, you're getting some bad ladies in there. We said, well, what's the key factor? They're after it, fellas. Some of these ladies out here, you could get them to get, you call for a bunch of men to come out on work day for church and paint a little bit, and boy, you get two or three trickle in, work 5 minutes, oh, you know, I got to go, I got to do some stuff. I know what I'm talking about, boy. We had quite a few work days down there in Georgia where I was pastoring. You call for the men to come. Oh, I just don't know. If nothing comes up, brother, I'll try to be there. The dangerous thing is at work. If I said, now we're going to grill some steaks on Saturday, would y'all like to come out? And oh, man, you have a house full. But ask the ladies to get together and do some work. They're going to end up in charge, and you fellas are going to end up sitting on the sideline. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what else happens? You know, some of you fellas, you've been working at your job, and one of these young fellas is going to come in, and you're going to be looking at him working so hard. Look at this guy. You can tell he's a new guy. Boy, he's really... And you're going to sit around looking and laughing at everybody else till you're put on the sideline. This new guy going to have your job. Right. Yes, sir. Well, I put in from that promotion. I've been here 20 years, and I didn't get the job. This fellow only been here a year. Well, maybe you should have been doing something instead of laughing at him.
That's right.
I've seen it all my life. One of the first things I learned in the Marine Corps is you better shut your mouth and get your job done. Somebody replace you. Amen. I've seen it time after time. Guys stand around, they're sergeants and staff sergeants, and they're looking at these young guys. Yeah, you young guys. And really make them do stuff that it's their responsibility to do. But when you're in charge and nobody can question it, you just do what you want to do. Make all these privates do your job. Make all these lance corporals and corporals do your job and just run them ragged. But what they're doing while they're running ragged is there's somebody that's above you looking at them, watching them, saying, look at how hard them are. Next thing you know, that staff sergeant's being forced to retire. You've got to go. And what it comes down to, bottom line, is we can afford to get rid of you. We're paying you too much. Here's a young guy that's doing your job. We can keep him, pay him less. You say, what's the moral of that story? You better be faithful. And remember, you're a servant. Amen? Remember your place, or somebody will take your place. Now, having said all of that, a person's got to remember their place, remember who they are. You know, this fellow here in this passage of Scripture, a wise servant shall have rule over a son. You know what the son ought to do? He ought to remember that that's exactly what he is. He's a son. Remember your place. Remember your role. And live up to it on a daily basis. Well, I'm the son. Nothing's going to happen to me. That's not the right attitude. I'm a son. It matters what I do. It matters how I'm perceived. Amen? And that's the attitude that you ought to have. We got a fellow that come to work at the company that I work at, and he doesn't take care of himself. He looks like he hadn't had a bath in 3 or 4 weeks. He wears clothes that have holes in them and all kinds of stuff like this. And granted, it is a dirty job, and you're going to get dirty, and your clothes are going to get messed up and all that. But I said something to him one day. I said, boy, you look kind of rough. He said, I don't give a F. You ever run into anybody with that attitude? Yeah. I don't care nothing about that. I don't care what nobody thinks of me. I'd like that may be very true, but the people you're going out to on the side of the road, they care. And if you go out there and if you make an impression and that impression causes them not to call us again, then you're taking money out of my pocket. Because you don't give a blankety blank. Mm-hmm. No man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. Now you got a servant and a son in this situation here, and I don't think it takes too much imagination to see what's going on in the verse. You got a son here and you got a servant. Well, who outranks who? Of course the son outranks the servant. The servant's sitting there thinking, well, if this son don't care nothing about what his dad's got going on here, why should I care? In this case, the servant does care more than the son. That doesn't make any sense to me. You know what usually has to take place in a situation like this? The son has to be humbled. This is New Testament. This is New Testament stuff you're finding right here. The son will have to be humbled, wake up in the hog pen, and come back and say, I'll be your servant, Daddy, if you'll let me. In order to get his place back whatsoever, even if he does. And I'm sure about what happened in the story of the prodigal son. I'm absolutely sure about what happened. I'm sure that son lived with his father and did the right thing, and when he died, he got another inheritance. I'm sure of that. I'm absolutely positive, because I know fathers and sons. I know how fathers feel about sons. I don't have to have a verse of scripture for it. I know it. Intimately in my own heart what happened. But what I can tell you about this is the servants, if they did what they were supposed to do, they got their fair share. And if a son won't get right, the servant get more than the son does. You say, what is that? That's reaping and sowing. I talked about a little bit last week, in all labor there's profit, and that's absolute truth. Absolute truth. It's absolute. It's going to work out. Say, Brother Mike, I'm having a little trouble in my job. What should I do? Work harder. Stop complaining. Amen? Well, one thing I refuse to get involved in is a bunch of drama. And I think I work at the soap opera capital of the world. But I just ain't going to get involved in it. Don't care nothing about it. I don't care if you feel good or not. Don't talk to me about it all. Oh, somebody treated somebody bad. I don't care. Hey, what they're doing to you, Mike, that ain't fair what they're doing. I don't care. I didn't come to work to get treated fair. I come to work to make money. The worst thing you can ever listen to in this world is somebody saying, hey, Ron, they're not treating you fair, man. What business is it of yours? Let me tell you something about humans. They're all stingy. They're all selfish. If somebody gets around mixing up in your affairs, this person's not treating you fair. They're trying to cause trouble and they're trying to benefit themselves. You know those two things absolutely for certain. When some government official comes by and they want to get elected and they say, we're going to make sure everybody treats you fair. Run, 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 run. Run away from them as fast as you can. Amen? Because when the government starts protecting you, you're heading for a ghetto someplace. Things are about to get worse for you. Amen. Amen. That's truth. You live in America. You live in the ultimate place where you can see that's true. When the government starts taking care of you, you're about to start living in ghettos. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Have you heard over the last couple of years that black unemployment in the United States is at an all-time low? Did you know they didn't used to keep up with stuff like that? Did you know that black employment will never be higher than it was before 1965? Never. Because before the Civil Rights Act, a lot of black people owned their own businesses. Oh, but Brother Mike, just hush. You've been watching too much Days of Our Lives and Ghost Hunters to even know what's going on in the real world. So what happened? The government started trying to take people. You know who's going to have ghettos next? Homosexuals. You say, why? Because the government's trying to protect them. The last thing you ever want to do is get the government to protect you. So who should be protecting me? The Lord? And then you. It's your responsibility. Oh, Brother Mike, they're not treating you right. I don't care. I don't care. The Lord's going to take care of me. And the Bible tells me, and I'm just foolish enough to believe the Bible, if somebody sets a trap for me, they're going to step in it themselves. And if they roll a stone, it's going to return upon them. Amen? Now, if you don't believe that, go ahead and try to get somebody to take up for you. But I got done having people take up for me. I even went and told my brother when I was in the ninth grade, don't take up for me no more. I'm going to fight for myself. Amen. And this day and time, we've got to do something about these bullies. I know what you do for bullies. Take your little snotty-nosed kid that's getting beat up by the bullies every day, strap some boxing gloves on them and stick them in the ring with the bully and let them go at it. Look at, see how little I am? Bullies taught me my best lessons in life. They used to beat me up daily. Daily. You say, what'd it do? Made me tougher. Hey, man. You say, where are those bullies at today? In jail or dead? Or strung out on meth. Amen. That bullies never learn to take up for themselves. They learn to take it out on other people. You got a little snotty-nosed kid getting beat up by bullies? Teach him how to fight. Violence. You are in a real world. The government going to get rid of violence, and they'll do it at the end of an M16. That's true. That's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. Going to have a war on drugs. What do they use?
M16.
Exactly.
Or AK-47.
I'm teaching. Rhetorical question. You don't have to answer. Now listen to me. That's absolutely true. You just do what you're supposed to do and be faithful at it. You'll come out on top. You say, how do you know? Reaping and sowing. Well, they're talking bad about me along the way. Let them talk. Let them talk. Ignorance talks. Ignorance talks when it ain't supposed to be talking. Amen. So, Brother Mike, you're being hard. I'm not being hard. Somebody should have said that a long time ago. Amen. Go do what you're supposed to do. Put up with the hardships that come along, and you're going to come out on top. You'll come out on top. Amen. Amen. And so what if the minority or the majority is the one that thinks you're on top? If you're on top, you know it. Well, let's say a lot of people just sitting around looking at everything everybody else has got and think they're on the bottom. You got to stop looking at things like that. Amen. You're saved, going to heaven, washed in the blood, your sins are forgiven. You're laying your head on your pillow with a clear conscience. Maybe you don't have as many things. Maybe you don't have as many friends on Facebook or followers on Instagram. But when things are right, you ought to be happy about that. You know, one of the funniest little things I've heard is that some people can't take yes for an answer. Amen. Some people just can't accept that they've got it well off. Amen. I just don't have a lot of friends and stuff. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. If you can count them all on one hand, you're probably doing well. Amen. A lot of people, less people to borrow money from you. Amen. If you want to get rid of friends, loan them money. Did you know that? That's absolute truth. Hey, man, can I borrow $5? Oh, I'm about to never see him again. That's worth $5. I don't loan people money. Mm-mm. If you got a need and I've got the money, I'll give it to you. Amen. Stop loaning people money. And if you're going to loan it, you may as well charge interest because you ain't going to get it back anyway. If you do happen to get it back, you may as well get a little extra. Amen. The banks do it. Amen. Amen. What time is it? 9:45, I think it is, right? We may as well leave it at that. One verse a week sounds about right. 68 weeks to go. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do thank you for your goodness and for your grace. I pray you'd help us to be faithful servants. Lord, we don't even like the idea of being servants. Lord, we got a bad, that word servant has a bad connotation, but Lord, it really is a great thing in your eyes, and a servant that will apply himself to labor and a wife that will apply herself and know her role as a wife, as a helpmeet, will also do her job well, and a husband that knows his role as a leader and as an authority and as a director, God, he'll do his job well if he'll have the mindset of a servant. And Lord, though I be the ruler of my house, I'm also a servant to my wife and to my children. And Lord, you said that the man that would be the greatest would consider himself to be the least, and that he would make himself a servant of all. And Lord, I think that any man that leads anybody would be a servant to those that he leads and be a help and a blessing to those that he leads instead of, Lord, an old grimace or an intimidator. Lord, I pray that you'd help and help us to see, God, a man that loves don't want to be seen as a dictator or as a fearful thing, God. But I pray, oh God, that you would help us to see, Lord, that we get more profit out of a servant's heart than we will, God, just trying to bully our way through life and to force things to be the way they are. Lord, I recognize and realize that we fear you. I fully recognize, God, that you also give us a free will to believe in you and follow you, God. And, Lord, I believe that's the relationship that you like best. And I believe, oh, God, that that's the relationship that men would enjoy best with their wives and children if he was a faithful, loving leader rather than a dictator. And Lord, I thank you, God, for your goodness and grace. I thank you, God, for the abilities, God, that you give. I thank you, God, for the wisdom that you'll give if we want to order our conversations aright. And I pray, God, that each man in this building, no matter how high-minded that he is today, or any woman, no matter how high-minded that she may be, I pray, God, that you'd help us, God, to choose the role that you have for us and help us to do it with a servant's heart. And I believe you'll help us to come out on top. We may not be the richest because we're not following this world's idea of what a successful person is, but, God, I pray that you'd help us to be what we ought to be for your sake And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Amen. All right, take a little break this morning. Got plenty of time before the main service.
It opens the wrong way, but.
You got the new iPhone?
Yes.
Look at you go.
Look at me go. Look at me go.
Look at you go.
Hey, little Jesse.
Hey.
Are you going to be here next Saturday?
I'm not sure.
Not sure.
I'm not sure what time. I'm leaving Saturday, but I'm not sure what time.
Not sure what time?
Mm-mm. Why, what's up?
I need a preacher for Saturday for the harvest party.
Mm.
Bus kids.
I probably better not be the one to do it.
Okay, then I'm going to get you next time.
Okay.
All right. Hey, brother.
Bus one. The party never ends, does it?
And they're twins, too.
I know.
It's like freaking frack. What was that movie with Dan Aykroyd and Chevy Chase where he lost his car and there were these two big, like, dumb twins? Like Demi Moore in it, man.
I don't remember.
It was back in the late 80s, early 90s. Some dumb movie. I don't know because I don't watch TV because I'm saved. I've been watching The Twilight.
There's a lot too many. Let me see that bass.
You want to slap a little bit?
I'm about to bam, bam, bam.
I always think about it on the
Jason, come on, man. He does. And then up for Good Charlotte or something. Or he was going to.
He was going to.
I've asked him, I've been like, why is he on a big base? And he's like, no, man.
Now, but I mean, it could be done. There's really no sense in it at this moment. But when we get time to install that new snake, new stage box with all the ins and outs,
you have it.
Yeah, it's here. Here, Jacob. I think for about $120, you should just invest in a pickup.
Well, I know that, but right now I ain't got the time or the money.
What? Where's the capo for this, Jordy? What?
Hey.
like these tuners. I wish they were Grovers.
Huh?
Are Grovers any good? Are Grovers any good? Because I've heard some bad things about them.
They're heavy.
I don't like how their knob shape is. It's like hard to
turn. Here, try a guitar. $125. Not today. $125.
Is it online?
Yep.
Musician's friend or
Amazon. What's that?
It sounds great.
Doesn't it?
I'm gonna go to Blue Range, I think.
Oh, I would, but I mean like for Jordan?
For that thing sounds great.
$125.
I would even go with a little Yamaha because I was just playing one of my friends yesterday.
They're not bad either.
And that thing sounds good.
But the capo that came with that sucker, it's the real deal.
I like them on shows.
I know, but what I'm saying is that's the real deal. It's branded of their brand, but it's really one of those D'Addario capos.
They're probably better than them squeeze-on Kaisers, don't they?
I think they are.
That's a squeeze-on.
Yeah.
Because it presses evenly, but right. The Kaisers, the pressure is more toward the E string.
I don't like a Kaiser.
That, I like them because they're quick to change, but they don't. I just use mine because that's all I have.
They knock the intonation out of the instrument.
That's why I bought that Chubb, because I just use the Kaiser was all I had, so that's what I
yeah.
used. I bought that Chubb.
See, Jordan holds his hand wrong when he plays. So he's not fretting a note.